Hello and welcome to another edition of Defending the Den. I am your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing? On time, a little early, actually, arrival of this one, because there's some things going on and some early arrivals will happen, and you get all your news ahead of the Dan Barry series for your Maryland Black Bears. And last we left you, they had just swept the Philadelphia Rebels, and they had an oddball week. Had a game on Wednesday and then two on the weekend. It was Guns N' Roses weekend, a great turnout for everyone who came out. Awesome, awesome display. Plus, they had the NHL Mobile Museum going around, which I did not get to, but Johnny P told me about, and a lot of people told me about the experience and said it was pretty cool overall. So, hooray. But let's get down to business, and let's talk about the Black Bears in Johnstown as they went up for a one-off game against the Tomahawks. The last meeting in the regular season that these two teams will have in Johnstown, the Tomahawks will come back for the last weekend of the regular season to Maryland for that Friday-Saturday set there. Tickets at MarylandBlackBears.com. You can get in there. It's the big celebration weekend, Billet Appreciation Weekend, Fan Appreciation Weekend. Going to be cards, going to be posters, going to be all kinds of fun stuff. So tickets.marylandblackbears.com. Get that plug in there right now. But in the early going for this one, it was all Tomahawks. I don't know if it was just the long trip on a short notice, but the Black Bears look a little hesitant, a little on their heels. Johnstown really peppered Colin Ronan in net. Ronan made some big saves, too. He had he was tested early often, made some big saves overall, and then late into the first period with under 5 minutes remaining, Cade Baker nets his 11th of the year with just a scramble in front, and he pops it in there to make it 1-0. That's where it would stand after one period of play. Johnstown at shooting Maryland 14-4, which is something you don't necessarily see out of a Maryland Black Bears team, to be that on their heels and be that in a deficit in terms of shot column there. So second period comes along, Black Bears get a little bit of mojo back going. They get some offense, can't really find the back of the net though, unfortunately. But then transition started to really kill the Black Bears as Zach Abe and 2:35 in gets his 20th of a year. Just a nice cross-ice pass from Nick White. Finds Aben. Aben puts it behind Ronan. Not much Ronan could do about that one. And it is 2-0. Then 5 minutes later, Reed Loon puts Johnstown up 3-0. Another cross-ice pass that had Loon as the benefactor as he won times at home. So there's that. 3-0. Then after that instance, Loon and Mike Ergo go at it. Get a fighting majors for each. Ergo trying to get his team kick-started down 3-0. A little bit, again, offensively, they started to get more into the Johnstown end. Not too many grade A chances. I think a lot of just chances to the outside. Not many threats. A couple of scrums in front that could have went either way, but Black Bears couldn't find one. And then Johnstown caps it off with under 3 minutes remaining. Maryland native Will Lawrence, he pots home his 21st of the season, jamming at a loose puck in front of the net, finding it and putting it home. Makes it 4-0 after two periods of play. Black Bears, though, they would wake up in the third. They would start getting their legs moving, start getting things going in a big situation. Dylan Gordon cutting through the offensive zone. He has been spectacular the second half of the season. He was able to make it 4-1, cuts through the zone, like I said, 5-hole on Jacob Osborne, and that gets Maryland on the board. Gordon's 5th of the year, Luke Janis's 18th assist, Tyler Stern's 11th assist of the year. Then it wasn't the going didn't get good until super late with under 2 minutes remaining. Riley Rue gets his 12th of the year on a great redirection in front of the net from a Sebastian Brockman point shot. That made it 4-2 on Rue's 12th, Brockman's 6th assist. And then with 34 seconds remaining, I'm sure there was 33 points something, but you know, we move on from there. Credited to Mike Ergo, his second of the year, just jammed out in front of the net. Puck went in. He pointed at Ryder Nienhaus, and I don't know if Nienhaus actually got the goal, if it deflected off a Johnstown player, but the NHL website credits Ergo with his second goal of the year unassisted. Again, that all seems a little bit off, but hey, it is what it is. Black Bears 2-1 with 30 seconds remaining, and while they pushed and pushed and pushed with the goalie pool, could not get the equalizer The effort was too late, even though they had 18 shots to Johnstown's 3 in the third period. Black Bears come up short 4-3. Colin Ronan, 23 saves in the defeat, and just a tough go. Had a solid first period for himself, and then just good plays in the second period kind of did in the Black Bears. So they had a little motivation. They had a little momentum going into the weekend against Rochester. Rochester, one of the hotter teams, and they are looking for a top two spot in the East, so they get that bye weekend, don't have to play that play-in round. But a win for Maryland on Friday would have, in regulation, mind you, would have clinched them a bye into the play-in round. So we'll see how this all plays out starting Friday, 3:30 in. Maryland gets the party started quick. Ray Perot with a nice little shot walking across the blue line, putting a shot against the grain through traffic in the net. And there you go, Ray Perot's third of the year. Kareem El-Bashir's 24th assist. Ryder Nienhaus's 13th assist. Black Bears up 1-0 early. Rochester, of course, using their speed, using their transition, using the skill that they have, they got into the position that they are in to tie the game up late into the frame. Jaden Dyke pots home a rebound into a pretty much a nice little yawning cage just after the power play that they had expired. He puts it in. Puck drifts over the net as it expired. So there you go. And Jaden Dyke gets his 11th, and it is a tie game after one period of play. Then 2:50 in, a turnover inadvertent out of the zone. Just couldn't get – there's no one on the boards for a breakout pass. And gets picked off by Gabe Randell, and he puts home his 25th, eludes Owen Lepak. And it is 2-1 for Rochester, but Maryland gets a power play of their own in the – towards the middle of the frame, and Jesse Horacek rips one home. A nice pass over from Cal Houston, and Horacek rips home his 18th of the year. Cal Houston, 16th assist. Sam Stitz, his 15th assist of the year. Horacek with that goal, that's his 7th power play goal of the year. Breaks a single-season mark for the team. He was tied with Luke Janis, who has 6 right now as well, and also a bevy of other names on that list, including Connor Pooley, Brad McNeil, and Luke Van Wy. So congratulations to Jesse on that. Black Bears wouldn't stop there, as another power play late in the frame gave David Utkin his 3rd of the year. A nice little head fake pass from Dimitri Kebrew coming down the slot finds Utkin on the wing. He rips it home for his 3rd of the year. Kebrew's 32nd assist, and Sam Stitz his 16th assist of the year. Black Bears up 3-2-2. And then it wouldn't stop there. With under a minute 30 remaining, Jeremy Tremblay nets his 20th of the year, becoming only the 3rd 20-goal scorer in Maryland Black Bears history, as he pots home just a nice little rebound in front. I believe it was a little bit of a redirection on a rebound. Gets his 20th of his year. Matthew Croxell, his 10th assist. Cal Houston, 17th assist. Black Bears up 4-2 after 2. And they look to be a little bit cruising, but Rochester, they made it a little bit tricky for the Black Bears, as Matteo DiCippo gets his 27th of the year, 5:25 in, kind of just slides in, and there we go, 4-3. But the Black Bears and Owen Lepak shut things down, and they were able to keep Rochester at bay, and the Black Bears win 4-3. In regulation, Owen Lepak with 30 saves in this game, and that also allows the Black Bears to have a bye in the first play-in round, so they'll have a week off before they get started in the playoffs, which is, I think, huge, given the I mean, it could go either way in all this, obviously. I mean, you want rest for the playoffs, but also you don't want to be too rusty, so we will see how that goes for the Black Bears, but they will have home ice advantage for the first round of the playoffs, at least trying to gain for that home ice advantage throughout the Eastern Division playoffs. So it's going to be a time. It's going to be fun to see the next few weeks. But guess what? We have another game to talk about, and it was a wild one indeed on Saturday night. And if you weren't there, boy, you missed something fun. Start off with the Black Bears. Trying to push, trying to keep that momentum going. Had a pushback from Rochester, and then on the power play, Alex Zakharewski gets his 5th of the year, rips it through a screen of players in front. That made it 1-0 Rochester. But literally 2 minutes after that happened, Dimitri Kebrew nets his 18th of the year. A nice little give and go with Tyler Stern. Came into the zone, dropped it back to Stern. Stern found Kebrew for a one-timer. Boom, 18th of the year. Tyler Stern's 12th assist. Luke Amel started the whole thing. He got his 18th assist of the year. And with that goal, Dimitri Kebrew eclipses the 50-goal mark in the NAHL, in his NAHL career. Easy for me to say. And daps and head taps to him, because that's the first time Black Bears have done that. So congratulations to him there. But it was not done there. No, 1:05 later, Riley Rue, he decides to rip one home, his 13th of the year, getting a nice pass from Luke Amel from behind the net. And just boom, tic-tac-toe, bing. Riley Rue's 13th, Luke Amel's 19th assist. Dylan Gorton getting the secondary assist for his 15th of the year. Black Bears up 2-1 after one. But boy, that second period was not the best for the Black Bears, we should say. It happened all in effect with a 2-10. Maryland had a couple of power plays early, could not convert on those to really put the game away, but a checking from behind call kind of did in the Black Bears in this one, as they had a little bit of penalty trouble after that. 5-on-3, Matteo DeSippo gets his 28th of the year, just ripping one home. That tied the game up. And then still on a power play, Michael Sandrick gets his 8th of the year with a 4:29 remaining in the frame. And then to end it all out with under 1:30, Luca Layton gets his 27th of the year, even strength, to make it 4-2 for Rochester. 3-goal against period, which the Black Bears dealt with earlier in the week in Johnstown. And they are down 4-2 going into the third. And something just clicked. Something triggered in the Black Bears, and they got things going early in the frame. Matthew Croxall gets his 14th of the season, 3:33 into the frame, as just a odd angle shot across the ice eludes Cole O'Donnell in net, and then boom, in it goes, down 4-3. And then with just about 5 minutes remaining, 5:04 remaining in regulation, Michael Urgo redirects home a Dylan Gorton shot. A nice little redirect that bounced a couple times over O'Donnell for his second or third of the year, currently third in the NAHL. Tie game on Urgo's goal. Dylan Gorton, his 16th assist of the year, and Cal Houston, his 18th assist of the year. And then with under 3 minutes remaining, Jeremy Tremblay puts home his 21st of the year, just a scrum in front of the net, and he was able to pot home the goal. And on the rebound, boom, 21st of the year. Croxall's 11th assist, Houston's 19th assist. Black Bears up 5-4 with under 2.5 minutes remaining. But then, unfortunately, a very unfortunate bounce, as Thomas Rocky for Rochester puts home his 15th of the year. And it was an odd bounce. He backhanded it from behind the line. It goes off. I don't know if it went off of someone on Rochester's cage or Maryland's cage, because there was a clear, distinct metal sound, and then into the net it went to make it 5-5. So the Black Bears tied up in this one. They go to overtime, and they weren't working by the hour, not paid by the hour. These guys are not. As Dylan Gorton, 8 seconds in, almost ends it. But then it took 26 seconds overall for Dylan Gorton to pull the puck behind the net on a great forecheck to tie up the defender, make them creating a turnover from Dylan Gorton. And he passes right out in front to Samuel Stitz. Picture perfect goal right over the left shoulder of O'Donnell. And it's raucous time. The 550-plus Maryland Black Bears fans erupt. Black Bears win, sweep the weekend, get 4 points overall. And Sam Stitz is 11th of the year. Dylan Gorton, 17th assist. And Dimitri Kebrew, his 33rd assist of the year, with Owen Lepak having 23 saves in this one. A wild weekend, but Black Bears come out with 4 points on the weekend. Much needed points as well, as they head into the last 2 weekends of the year. And we'll get to that here in a second, but they taps and head taps to Sam Stitt and Dylan Gordon getting honorable mentions this weekend as they were on fire overall. A great showing for everyone involved. So Black Bears getting some, I don't know what it takes to get first or second stars these days, but hey, it is what it is. But there we go. So congrats to Stitz and Gordon for their weekend. So the Black Bears in their penultimate weekend as they travel for the last time of the regular season on the road to Danbury. Friday, 3 o'clock start. Saturday, 7 o'clock start. And you can catch all the action on NAHL TV. Of course, this is one of those situations where it could be a trap game. You don't know. Because the Black Bears sitting in first place right now, 83 points on the year, 39-12-5. They are 5 points clear of Maine, who have a game in hand. You look at Danbury. Danbury is down. They are in ninth place. They are out. They've lost three in a row. But this is a prime picking for a team that is going against a team that kind of knows where they're at in their spot. But for the Black Bears, you want to make sure you clinch down that first place in the division, so you are the home, you have the home ice advantage overall. So we will see how this all pans out. Again, could be a trap series if the Black Bears let their guard down just a little bit, but I'm sure Clint Millamock will have his team rip-roaring ready to go right out the gates on a Friday afternoon. And the thing on the Black Bears side, 35-17-8 when the game starts at 5 p.m. local time or earlier all time. So the Black Bears have that in their advantage. And they've played many an early game. So we will see if those numbers can help add up for another victory for the Black Bears. And this time in Danbury, we will have to see. And then, we will have to wait and see afterwards because then it's the last home weekend. But we'll talk about that next weekend. For everything involved and what's going to happen there. Time for some interviews. That's right. It is interview time, as we often do here. And we'll start off, of course, with head coach Clint Millamock. He joins us here. Took some time out. We greatly appreciate it. He talks about the week that was with the three games and the hey-hey and the what possibilities of what things need to be done in those second periods to get a little bit more adjusted and just overall chitter and chatter.
Black Bears head coach Clint Millamock joining me right now. And coach, since we last spoke, three games there, nail biters, one goal games each. Your thoughts on the past week?
Wednesday's a tough one because you're going in right off the bus into a game against a team that last time we played them, we swept them in their rink. And I think the last weekday game, I was talking to their coach about it, the last weekday game they played, they got shelled 6-0. So I guess they had some incentive. But that being said, I thought when we competed, we're like any other night, we're good, and we made it close. And Ronan was our best player the whole game. He was fantastic and gave us a chance. And we showed up a little bit late for that one, unfortunately. And we had a simple game plan and just didn't execute. And that happens long year. And we just said, well, I guess we have 4 points we got to find on the weekend at home. And that's just kind of the way our team is.
And you guys did find those 4 points on the weekend, thrilling games, and you guys also earned a bye for the first round of the playoffs. As a coach, to have that week off in between regular season and playoffs is good, bad, and different for everything.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it's people say, oh, wouldn't you want to do – I mean, isn't it just about preparation? I mean, you can take every situation and make it positive or negative, so it depends on what you want, how you want to look at it. And for us, it gives us a few days off, most likely for the players to – get away from the rink and decompress. And then, you know, the way this group works and the way we're built as a team, like we can't afford to come back and rely on our skill anyway. Like we're a team, if you look at where our we went through this with our players, like our top scorer is ranked like 38th, I think, in the league. And so we're not like that high octane team. So it kind of doesn't affect us. Cause usually, I guess if you have a team where it's tic-tac-toe and you got rhythm and pace and offense, it could be a bit tougher, but this level, to me, it's always going to be about compete. So we're just going to let them rest and then focus on getting back to the heaviness of our game and playing the right way.
You guys were able to play a little high-octane offense this week because almost you had to because of tete-a-tete with what you guys are doing. Yeah. You like the way that the team looks, though, whenever thrown into a position, they seem to adapt very well to it.
Yeah, and it was also just down 4-2 against a good team. And you know, our message, again, is like, why can't we do this? Like, what's wrong with having taking the last 20 minutes or 25, if you will, and find a way to get it done. And so it wasn't anything upsetting or any screaming. It was just a, there's 2 points on the line and they're pretty important. And why can't we get them? And they found a way, and I give them a lot of credit because it's, in the end, that's 3 games in 4 days. It's a trap week for us. I mean, you go on the road, play one and come back, and then you got to play a really good team back to back. And I thought we did a really good job of bouncing back. And I know sometimes you want the perfect 1-0 game and all that, but I mean, this time of year, teams are desperate for points. And if you think about it, like, we shouldn't be as desperate as some other teams chasing us, but we're finding a way to hold them off. And that says a lot about our group.
Your last regular season road trip this weekend against Danbury, a team that is mired in quite a slump. And again, you talk about traps. This could be a trap weekend for you guys too. But what's the key to keep these guys motivated and keep
play
them going?
Play the same way. Play the same way. Just we're on the road and there's points at stake. And we have, you know, a specific goal in mind for the regular season, and that we've set some goals for us ourselves as a group and as a team to try and get there. And Danbury and any team, it doesn't matter. They're all going to come in, and there's the first place team, and we're going to get, guess what, their hardest effort, their best effort. And for us, it's usually when you're on the road, it's the first 10 minutes of managing the game. Teams are excited, take away their excitement, and learn from our last Wednesday game where we go on the road in our first 10 minutes. There's a polar opposite, breakaways, middle of the ice turnovers, and not simple. And you can take that experience and run with it. And Danbury, once again, is a team that's very competitive. They're play us tough. They have a couple good goalies. So, I don't know, it's same old, same old. We're going to go and play somewhere where they want to beat us bad and are going to be pretty excited to play us.
Head coach Clint Millima.
Next up, defenseman Keaton Lipsett joins me and talk a little bit about getting into the lineup now that his injury woes have been, knock on wood, a little bit resolved. Talk a little bit about that. We also talk about the Tri-State Spartans and why that team and organization has become such a hotbed for junior hockey prospects.
Maryland Black Bears defenseman Keaton Lipsett joining me right now. And Keaton, what a weekend for you guys. What a week. 3 games in 4 days. You come out with 4 points. What was your assessment of the week?
Yeah, I thought we did a good job of just kind of sticking to our game. You know, we've really been honing in on the little details and making sure we're doing the little details right to start playing playoff hockey. I feel like we did a pretty good job of that this week.
You guys have seen a lot of playoff atmosphere. It seems like it's very tight games against really good teams. Yes, does that help you prepare a lot more?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. It helps a lot because then you can, you know, kind of feel how the playoffs will be. And we're starting to get ready, especially during practice as well. You know, we're up in the intensity and really trying to hit and do the little details so we can be ready for playoffs.
For you to get back in the lineup, that's going to be good to get back into game action as well. Had some time off as well. How are you feeling since getting back in every day?
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling good. It's, you know, a little tough to kind of get right back into the rhythm of games and kind of how I was playing before. But other than that, you know, body feels good and just keep working and get out there.
Now, they talk about playing with size, 6'7". Did that happen like overnight? We've had a couple guys here, taller guys, who said it just happened overnight and they had to learn how to deal with it. Was it, for you growing up, was it easily adjustable, or is it something you kind of had to learn on the fly?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been really tall, so I was just really lanky, so I was really awkward. So it was kind of more just growing into my body and getting used to how everything works. But yeah, I mean, I've been tall my whole life, so I've had it pretty good.
What is it about the Tri-State Spartans? Because we have a lot of guys come through there. That seems to be a heck of a program. What has been your experience with that program and being able to develop players like they have been?
Yeah, they have a really good program there. We know a lot of guys have come out of Tri-State and gone into juniors, and, you know, we have a few D1 NCAA guys too. So it's been really good for development. I think they do a good job of being able to take a bunch of guys from a region that doesn't have much hockey and bringing them together as a team and developing them and making them good hockey players.
Now you guys go up to Danbury this weekend, last road weekend of the regular season. What's been the message this week for you guys?
Just the same thing we've been doing the last few weeks, just really focus on the little details, making sure we're finishing our hits and just competing as hard as we can to get us ready for playoffs.
Keaton Lipsett of the Maryland Black Bears.
Next up, Dylan Gordon, defenseman for the Black Bears, set up the overtime winner on Saturday. We talk a little bit about how he knew that was going to be good for him jumping into the forecheck and cleaning out, and also what he plans to do in terms of when the playoffs come about and how he's going to address that to the rest of the squad.
Maryland Black Bears defenseman Dylan Gordon right now. And Dylan, what a weekend for you guys. You guys didn't work by the hour there on that overtime there. What did you see during the game that made you know that forecheck was going to be super effective?
Honestly, I just kept my eyes up, tried to look at the net, see what was open, and I just kept my feet moving and found a lane. So
overall, you guys have been finding a way each and every day. Wednesday aside, of course, you guys tried to come back and that one ran out of time. But what has been the determination of this team right now? It seems like you guys have finally kicked it into a new level.
I think we've just been working hard, trying to, you know, communicate and work as a team.
What has been the big thing, especially in this stretch right now, to get prepared for playoffs? What has been the key factor that the coach has been kind of drilling in you guys as we get ready for playoffs?
Just really working hard, competing, just stay gritty, just keep grinding it out and keep the pace up in practice.
Now you've had a little bit of experience in playoffs in the OHL and maybe not in NHL play, but also just playoffs in general. Have you been kind of trying to vocalize that to the guys who may not have experienced playoffs before?
Not yet, but not quite yet. Trying to finish up the season, but I think come playoff time, you know, closer and closer, that I'll try and communicate to them and make them aware that it's a different ball game.
Absolutely. And Danbury, this weekend, you guys have had little luck against the junior hat tricks this year. What's the key for you guys to keep it rolling?
Just keep working hard against them because they're going to be heavy. They have a lot of penalty minutes and they're going to come out and come hard. So just play harder.
Dylan Gordon of the Maryland Black Bears.
The recipient of Gordon's pass was forward Sam Stitz, and he's joining me right now talking a little bit about the week that was for the Black Bears as well as his overtime winner. And also if it matters if there's a week off between the end of the regular season and the first playoff date for the Black Bears.
Maryland Black Bears forward Sam Stitz joining me right now. And Sam, what an overtime victory for you guys on Saturday night. And as a whole, this weekend was a pretty big success. What was your just assessment of the weekend?
Yeah, I think after last weekend, we just had to play simple. We kind of got back to our compete as a team. I think we did a good job with that. And yeah, overtime was a good moment there. A lot of work from Gordo. And yeah, it was a good win.
Overall for you guys, have you getting that playoff feeling back? Have you guys feel the intensity between these games as of late?
Yeah, I think we got a little bit of that fire in our belly back. Now that's closed, and I think we got four more games left. Everyone's kind of antsy to get there, and we're just trying to perfect our play to get into the playoffs and be that hot team.
As a player right now, I mean, you guys are going to be on the hot streak, but then you have a week off because of you guys will have that bye for the play-in round. Is it better or worse as a player to, you know, have that stall when you guys are really antsy and really fighting fidgety to get there?
Yeah, I think it depends. I don't really think it matters too much. I think it's good to rest your legs. You know, we've been going for 60 games now, so it's good to rest your legs, get that little extra hop in your step for that next week. But also it's a week of maybe that sharpness goes away a little bit, so we'll just have to be dialed in that upcoming week in our first round and be ready to go.
Second period for you guys haven't been the best in the last 3 and 4 games, a little misfiring there in the second period. What's the big thing for you guys to get that kind of cleared up before everything goes in that second series season?
Yeah, I think just the consistency in the locker room after not being satisfied with how we play in the first, not being satisfied with our lead either. If we're up 1-0 or 2-0, just to keep our foot on the gas and keep pressing them and get them out of the game.
What's the big thing against Danbury this weekend, your last road trip of the weekend? What's been the message between the coaches and you guys?
Yeah, it's not going to be an easy one. They're a tough team. They play hard, so we got to be ready for the physicality and the contact and be ready to go and score some goals.
Sam Stitz of the Maryland Black Bears.
Thank you.
And Cal Houston joins me to wrap it all up, talking about his big weekend. Plenty of assists for him over the weekend. So we talk about that as well as the confidence that he feels he's getting from the coaching staff for being able to jump up in the play a lot more as the season has gone along.
Black Bears defenseman Cal Houston joining me right now. And Cal, big weekend for you guys. 4 big points as you head into the playoffs. What was your assessment of the weekend?
Yeah, I thought it was great, especially as a team this late in the year. Playing a good competition like Rochester. Those are 2 really good games, especially the second one. Good come from behind win. Just shows like our perseverance and our trust in each other as a team.
Racked up the assist this weekend for yourself. What has been the difference for you to get more comfortable back there offensively? Because you've been joining the forecheck as well.
Yeah, I think it's definitely much in part from the coaches. They put a lot more trust in me, I think. Beginning of the year, I'd say my leash was a lot shorter. Mm-hmm. But since like the second half started, like after Christmas, I think they've given me a lot more leeway. So when I make little mistakes here or there, they just let me keep playing, which really helps build confidence, and I just go from there.
You guys have had a lot of playoff-feeling games in the past few weeks there. Has it helped supercharge you guys trying to get into that mindset in a couple weeks?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think that's, like, a big mental thing because tensions are high. Like, you know, one goal feels like two in those situations, and that's certainly how it felt this past weekend, so for sure.
And I'm sure to have the leadership that you guys have who have been here before kind of helps you guys out too, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, experience is huge in this league, and with Dima, Jesse, Trace, all those guys, like, they've been a huge help.
Going up to Danbury for their last regular season road weekend, what's the big thing for you guys amongst yourself to try to get aside from the 4 points? What's the big thing you guys want to hammer down?
I think just keeping it simple. This late in the year, there's not too much we can change up, just playing our game, and yeah, I think that'll lead us to success.
Cal Houston and the Maryland Black Bears.
Thanks to Coach Clint, Keaton, Dylan, Sam, and Cal for joining me here. Always a pleasure to talk to those gentlemen. And also thanks to Chris and Jess of the Black Bears for allowing me the time and the availability for the players and a space to do the video on it. So all the video is up on Defending Den MBB if you guys want to check those out. It's in the interview thread. How about that? It's aptly named. Some alumni news. Why not? Hey. First off, congratulations to Kim Weiss and the Trinity College Bantams. Fell just short in the national championship game, but to get to the national championship game, a huge, huge situation for them. So congratulations to them to get into that. And building blocks for next year, of course. So we will have to see how that goes. But Kim Weiss behind the bench as the assistant coach of Trinity. Congratulations to her. Wilmer Skoog, he is setting things ablaze there in Charlotte. 16 goals and 24 points in 39 games in his first pro season in the AHL. Had himself a game-winning goal in overtime on Saturday night and also had a goal on Sunday, St. Paddy's Day, which was huge for him too. So he's a guy who is rip-roaring, ready to go, and finally kind of got that pro groove going for himself. So congrats to him in his success, because succession means he's passing it on. His success, congrats to him overall. And there is a lot of Black Bear content in the NCAA brackets, as the NCAA hockey tournament was announced this week, and this Sunday, in fact. So the Black Bears will have a lot of representation starting off in the Providence region. They will have Michigan Tech. They will have Mr. Michael Morelli representing the Black Bears in Michigan Tech. He's been mostly in a backup role to Blake Peralta, who has been one of the top goaltenders in the NCAA for the past 2 years. But Morelli will be there, and he will represent Michigan Tech as well as the Black Bears. Then going on to the St. Louis bracket, Michigan State, the number one seed in that bracket. They will have Luca DePasco in net, although Trey Augustini has been taking over the net mostly, but Luca DePasco has been playing very well when called upon, so he will be in representation. They'll be taking on Western Michigan, who of course has Garrett Sidlowski, former Black Bears forward in that. Though Sidlowski is not suited up this season for Western Michigan, he's still upon the roster there. Michigan, Tanner Rowe on that squad there, former Black Bears centerman. He has been part of the Wolverines, first year of the Wolverines. He was up in Omaha for the Lancers the past two seasons. So his first season in Michigan, has a goal in 25 games for the Wolverines. And then, of course, RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology. They're the number four seed in the Sioux Fall bracket. They will take on number one seed overall, Boston University. And it's going to be a tough task for them. But Christian Catalano and Kevin Scott are fit to get things going on that one. Catalano with 9 goals and 16 points in 35 games in his first season with the Tigers, with Kevin Scott having 3 assists in 28 games for the Tigers as well. So a huge situation for this team, a nice little platform to have it on. So the Black Bears will be very well represented in this year's tournament. And it looks like a lot of the tournament's going to be on ESPN, so get your ESPN coverage ready to go. And it all starts this Thursday. So check it all out. Starts at 2 o'clock. Massachusetts and Denver, no Black Bears content there. And then Cornell and Maine. The evening slot at RIT plays at 4 Central, so 5 Eastern from Sioux Falls. And then the next one will be Michigan Tech at Boston College on Friday. and Western Michigan, Michigan State on Friday, and Michigan and North Dakota on Friday. So there you go. All the things you need to know for the NCAA tournament as it pertains to the Maryland Black Bears, as the road to St. Paul is on for the college hockey season. That's it. That's all. You guys have been great. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it as always. We will have coverage of the Danbury series as we roll into April, as we roll into the final weekend of the month, as we roll Tide. I don't know what that means. Don't know what that means. We'll move on from there. But we'll have all the coverage on that there at Defending Den MBB. You can catch some updates there. Also, clutchandcrabhockey.com. So I'll be traveling this weekend, so I might be a little shaky with it. Who knows? But all in all, we will have some coverage at the end of it all. So that's it. That's all. I'm Scotty Wallace. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been Defending the Den, part of the Face Off Hockey Show Media faction and podcast monsters. Again, Defending 10 MBB on Twitter and clutchandcrabhockey.com for all updates there. You guys stay safe, stay healthy, stay happy, and we'll talk to you next time through. Peace.